Indeed it does, and it begins with Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider, who will join us in just about 8 minutes from now at 2:10. If you missed Garrett Temple earlier, man, was that a fun conversation.
Sure was.
We'll run some of that back for you, particularly his thoughts on the veterans working with the young players and how there's a fine line, and everyone has a different approach with that, and he'll let you know what the Sacramento Kings approach is, as well as some eye-opening revelations about the Lowdown's new favorite, Costa Kufis.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have all of that for you in about 45 minutes or so. We'll dig into the Seahawks being fined $100,000 for violating concussion protocol. You've heard Chris mention it a couple times there in that sports update. Nothing we've really had a chance to dive into, but we'll try to do that as well. We've mentioned there's a new linear champion in the NBA. That is the Toronto Raptors. Boy, that road to Sacramento is getting longer and longer by the day. Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns December 29th at the Golden 1 Center, and we have got your tickets. We're going to draw a winner here from Twitter by the end of the show, probably actually right before we get out of here. We'll draw that winner right around 2:45, 2:50 or so. All you have to do, if you have the new KHDK app, just send a screenshot of you listening to the Lowdown to us on Twitter at JasonRoss1140 or at Damian Barling. And if you haven't downloaded the app yet, just go to the App Store, type in KHDK, click download. When it's done downloading, hit the 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. And then open it up, listen. Listen live. And if you miss any part of the show, you want to hear the entire Garrett Temple interview, you can in the on-demand section. And there's going to be we've got some really special things planned for that app, that including new commercials.
Yes.
So if you're listening on the app, sorry about that. You probably have them memorized by now. But don't worry. There's going to be a lot of really cool things that we're working on. That app is going to be a really big deal in 2018. We're so happy to have it. We're so happy to have these texts coming in here at 44-11-40. Damian and Jason. Salt and Pepper, what a man just came on the radio. I smiled thinking of Costa.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that didn't come on our station.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
Where'd you go, man?
Come back.
Yeah, I think he's back.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Vince McMahon marking 12 trademarks for the XFL? Yeah, I don't know.
The
XFL.
Going back to What a Man, is it weird that whenever I think of that song, I think of...
Me?
No, WrestleMania with Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yep.
Okay.
It's weird. Yep. Thank you. Would have been less weird if you thought of me. Because I was on stage.
That would be less weird if I heard What a Man and I thought of you.
Correct.
Okay.
Kings win back-to-back games on the road last night. Beat Philadelphia a couple nights ago. Beat Brooklyn last night. Again, if you missed the conversation we had with Garrett Temple at 1 o'clock, man. First time we've ever been able to talk to Garrett after a win.
Yeah, I was thinking about they're in a 7-7 in their last 14 games. We've interviewed Garrett in that. We always get him after a loss.
And there's a couple of occasions where we've gotten him after bad losses.
Really bad losses.
But, man, what a different tone to that conversation. And you know, he mentioned that the guys were having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what a game like that, a tale of two halves. You have a 64-point first half. You have a 40-point second half. You have an 18-point fourth quarter. I assume those guys are off today. We talked to Garrett at 1. He had actually set an alarm to wake up so he could talk to us. Those guys got in, I think it was like 4 o'clock in the morning or so. But when they have film, I assume tomorrow, whenever it may be, you think they spend more time watching the first half where they played really well or the second half where the ball didn't fall in the basket as much?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I feel like you kind of need to highlight what you do well. And maybe it's how's the coach feeling? Does he feel like there's a theme that's been happening that he wants to use teaching moments on? And sometimes it's easier after you win because people are in a good spirits, good things. And look, hey, I'm going to pay you 5 compliments, but here's what I'm really looking at. I want you guys to work at this. Mm-hmm. And so that may be an attack that they have. But I felt like they were playing well early, but it also, we sometimes get confused with this. They were making every shot. I mean, Damian, they started 8 of 9, 10 of 12, 12 of 14, 14 of 17. Everything was going in. So were they playing great defense? It was okay, but they were making everything. So I think we always confuse that with, hey, they were playing great. They just made their shots.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. But they stuck with it, competed, stayed in the game, and then at the end found a way to win, which is not always easy to do on the road.
And I imagine, you know, Brooklyn went into the locker room at halftime thinking, they can't keep this up.
Right.
Just keep playing ball. Your shots will fall. They played last night, and I know you and G-Man mentioned this on the broadcast last night, but when that lead dwindled from 21 to 12, suddenly we're talking 9, and I think we're at 9, maybe just over midway through the third quarter, and suddenly it's like, okay, they have an entire quarter and a half to lose this 9-point lead right mm-hmm. here. But they were able to just kind of keep themselves afloat. I don't think they ever lost the mm-hmm. lead. But they were able to keep
right
themselves
there.
Afloat, yeah, and get that win against, you know, an 11-19 team, a team that I think they should win those games. We're giving away tickets to see the Phoenix Suns. They should win those games against those teams.
Yeah, I feel like if they want to progress to get to spots where they think they can do, you're right, because it's easier to do it there than try to say, well, you got to beat the Spurs at home or the Cavs here, and you know you got to still try and get those games, but. You want to make sure you can get as many as you can against the teams you feel that you were either equal talent to or better. And I just think that was nice. And Philly might say they have more talent than Kings, but their best player wasn't playing. So they took advantage of that, and they actually swept the Sixers. So they did some good things on this trip.
Kings are 5-4 in their last 9 road games. And what were they to start the season? Was it 1-9?
1-9. And just even some of the differential, when they were 1-9, they were scoring 90 points per game in that stretch. Shooting 41%. Since they've gone 5-4 on the road, scoring 103 and shooting 48% and 39 from three. So everything's going better lately here on the road.
George Hill, 22 points last night. He's had a good little stretch. Zach Randolph continues to be the best player on the team. Garrett was talking about how amazing it was for a guy with a 10-inch vertical to get 10,000 rebounds. But he adds that to his 18,000 point, only the 20th player in NBA history to do that.
And I know we want to see this team being carried by De'Aaron Fox or Frank Mason or mm-hmm. Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic, Willie Cauley-Stein, whatever young guy, Scal, that you're looking for. But I think right now, the way they're constructed, they need George Hill and Zach Randolph to do what they're doing. And then it takes all the pressure off those guys. Go fill in the pieces. Be the other kind of role players that are growing and developing.
Here's another little stat for you. Kings' first win on the second night of a back-to-back this season.
They hadn't done that all year yet.
0-5 leading into last night's game.
Yeah. So that was important for them to do that just to – because they're going to have more back-to-backs. They have a lot of them. The league's tried to slow that down, but they've got one next week.
Totally tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Clippers
and the Cavs. Cavs, of course, have the Christmas Day game. Kings will travel to L.A. that day, play the Lakers the 26th, and then get the Cavs here on the 27th.
Not a good night for Buddy and Frank. Not a good night for the quote-unquote young guys in general. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox didn't play last night. Justin Jackson was out there on the floor.
Uh-huh. I don't ever feel like he hurts him. I don't know that he ever stands out. But
there just wasn't much of a takeaway from it.
Right.
But there'll definitely be something to take away from this, as there always is, our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today, Sam Amick. Sam! How are you?
Gentlemen, happy holidays. Doing well. How are you?
We were actually discussing, is the Amick house fully, and I'm being serious, we were discussing this. Is the Amick house fully Christmas decorated?
Yeah, it's pretty decked out. I threw a little shot up on Instagram last week trying to share a little bit of the festivities. As you guys, I've talked about before, we live at the end of this court. And we got a little bit of a Griswold component going on between myself and a couple of the other houses and a little bit of a friendly rivalry. You know, you put up an extra strand of lights and now I got to go get some more too. You put up a inflatable Darth Vader, which is one of our things we have. And you know, next thing you know, you look at the neighbor's house and they got more. So we got a good thing going.
Just want to be clear, that was an inflatable Darth Vader.
What did it sound like?
Nothing screams Christmas like Darth Vader.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
No, oh. Okay. Yeah. Apparently, I missed that part of Star Wars.
We got small boys. Everything Star Wars is getting a thumbs up from them.
So, Sam, as far as Christmas traditions, is Christmas Eve the bigger deal in the Amick house, or is it actually Christmas Day?
It's probably a, you know, split the difference type of thing. So Christmas Eve ends up being the extended family where I got my sister still lives in our hometown of Pleasanton. So we head down that way and hang out with my two sisters and their families and get the cousins together and have a good time. And then we make the drive back. My favorite part, because it was definitely a family tradition, was we've always wound up driving a lot on Christmas Eve. And so, you know, you got that late night drive back where as a little guy I'm looking out the window and pretty sure that I actually saw Santa Claus.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Every single year I'd find him. And so that's still kind of the routine for our family. And then Christmas Day, this is one of those, you know, this is where the job affects things because I'll be covering Warriors Cavs. But last year it was in Cleveland, so I didn't make the trek out to that game. But this year being in Oakland, we'll have a kind of a truncated Christmas morning before I head out, do my thing, and then actually circle back with everybody down in the Bay later in the day. So that is the itinerary.
It's a full Christmas day for Sammy Amick there. Since you brought up the Cavs, there's all sorts of rumors about Isaiah Thomas's return. We've heard next week. We've heard January. What do you know about a potential return for IT to Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, he's been pushing. And, you know, back when I had talked to him a few weeks ago, he was pushing for mid-December. And I thought by this point, to be honest, that I thought he'd be coming back like right about now. And I don't think there have been any setbacks, but I think it's more, you know, the Cavs, perhaps even more so than Isaiah, are being conservative with this thing and just making sure that he's ready to rock. I expect to see him in early January, you know, probably not before then. And the Christmas Day game, obviously, he's not expected to play in that. But, you know, who knows? These guys, human body is a funny thing, and he played with the G League team today and tweeted about something about how, you know, can I still make the All-Star team? So he's obviously feeling pretty good, and he must have looked good out there, I'm sure. So, you know, pretty soon they're going to get him back, and that's a huge get for those guys.
And, of course, that game, you know, it's Christmas. It'll have a lot of attention with the Warriors. What do you think about the Warriors' run here again, Sam? I mean, they won another double-digit win streak. It's at 10, and I think this one feels a little different because Steph's been out a lot of it. Draymond's missed some. I think the other day they had Iguodala and Livingston out. I mean, obviously, they're really, really talented, but how impressed are you with just even ripping off another 10-game win streak without several key guys?
Yeah, I mean, and they're winning some close games. I mean, close being relative. You know, that Memphis game had a few moments. The Lakers before that, you know, obviously as close as it comes, going to overtime. So they are not as dominant. I mean, and I'm looking at their schedule here. I mean, before that, you beat Dallas by 5, Portland by 7, Detroit by 4, and that's when they had the first game without Steph, I believe. Another one before that with Charlotte. So they're doing their thing. I mean, that is the luxury of having a roster that is that stacked. And so even with all these injuries, even with last night, you know, being down 4 starters, I believe, they find a way to kind of have that chameleon element and component to what they do. It changes the way they play. Kevin Durant's got to be much more OKC version of KD than he, you know, is the guy that he's been with the Warriors. But not a shocker. I mean, it's going to be fun when the Warriors and Rockets finally start running into each other. We got one coming up on the 4th in Houston, and then I don't think I'm going to that one, but I am going to go later in that same month, January 20th, they play again. I mean, these two teams are, in the West are just head and shoulders above everybody else right now.
Yeah, Warriors very quietly won 10 straight. It's amazing. Yeah. I was like, oh, right. Wait, really?
Yeah.
They won 10 in a row?
Right.
Oh, okay. Wow. Right. Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider, USA Today with us here on the Lowdown. Is there a team in the Western Conference that you're particularly impressed with? Minnesota seems to have kind of starting to get a little bit of a rhythm, but outside of the obvious, by the way, outside of the Golden States and the Houstons, is there a team that you're looking at like, oh, okay, I can see come January, February, this team could be tough to deal with?
Honestly, San Antonio is still the only one, and they're trying to find their way. When, you know, now that they have Kawhi back, it has, you know, it's been a little bit herky jerky so far. They won 3 in a row now, but San Antonio is it for me because Minnesota. I like watching them. I'm happy for the T-Wolves fans because barring a late season collapse, you know, their playoff drought that is the longest in the NBA is going to come to an end. But I just don't believe that they can make any real impact in the playoffs. Maybe I'll wind up being wrong, But, you know, I don't think they're deep enough. I think the minutes that these guys have logged and the way that they get kind of grinded into the ground by Tibbs, I just haven't loved the vibe coming out of Minnesota. They're very inconsistent. So San Antonio is the one, you know, and I think the, you know, their depth and their bench and all those intangibles are going to be huge. In fact, you know, former King Rudy Gay, can he keep playing well and trying to, you know, give them even more impact? And then, can, you know, Kawhi and LaMarcus coexist as well as possible, because they just seem to, you know, one seems to kind of take away from the other instead of augmenting what each other does, if that makes sense. And so they've got stuff to navigate through, but, you know, the potential with San Antonio is definitely there.
Sam, Houston lost their win streak yesterday, and Chris Paul in the game. It doesn't sound like it's too severe. What do you know about his health going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same, you know, it's a leg, and it's not the same side that the knee injury that kept him out from game one to whatever it was, game 16, something like that. So it doesn't seem too serious. I also thought it was kind of a funny debate last night, because everybody was saying it's the first time Chris has lost as a member of the Rockets, you know, and I don't know if he should be taking blame for that loss. He left it, you know, left the game early, and they probably win that game if he didn't get hurt and he actually finishes. So, you know, they're going to be fine. The timing is bad for I guess, storyline purposes, because they have their first game against his old team, the Clippers, is on Friday, is tomorrow. And so, you know, that drama is not going to be there. It's going to be Doc Rivers and his group against the, you know, Rockets without Chris. But they're a tremendous squad, man. They need to make sure that the defense stays at the high level that it has been to this point in the season. I mean, you give up 122 to a Lakers team that's not very good offensively, that's a terrible look for them defensively yesterday. And I learned, you know, we've seen from the Rockets the last couple of years that at times they would actually be decent defensively, but they have had a hard time sustaining it and truly making it part of their identity. And I think we've talked before about how with Chris Paul and Clint Capella and Ariza and PJ Tucker and all these guys, like, you know, they're ready to be a good defensive team, but that's what I'm going to be watching for them the next couple of weeks and months, is can they actually hold on to that trait.
Sammy, I'm looking at the standings right now, and you have the Pacers kind of at the fourth seed of the Eastern Conference. They're 18-14.
Right.
You look at Portland, they're the fifth seed in the Western Conference. They're 16-15. Is this just the first time I'm paying attention to numbers like this? Is this unusual? Like, this just doesn't feel impressive with, you know, 30 some odd games into the season, and I think we have five teams at single digit losses.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, even if you don't go by the single digit parameter, Damian, like, let's just go, you know, like, to me, 22-10 for the Spurs, like, that's a really good record.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we'll be generous and we'll just say, I mean, what you're basically saying is there are only six teams that are not sniffing 500.
Well, yeah, exactly. Everyone's hovering around 500.
Right. And I mean, that part is a little bit disheartening, because it's been a fun season. There are a lot of storylines, but because of what you're talking about and the body of work that we're now seeing as we get close to the season's halfway point, is that now we're projecting, you know, toward the postseason and what truly matters and who's truly going to make some noise. It's kind of a bummer that right now, it you know, like you asked me about who's impressing you in the West, and I'm looking at the fourth seed in the West saying, nope, I don't buy Minnesota, you know, and same type of thing in the East. You know, the Pacers are a surprising story, but I'm definitely not buying them as a team that's going to threaten the Cavs or the Raptors or the Celtics. So you do have a little bit of that, the haves and the have-nots component that is pretty bad this year. And the East is not, as you know, earlier in the season it was even stronger than it is now. We had more teams in the middle of the pack that were pushing harder and better than they are now, but it seems to have kind of leveled out a little bit.
Sam, from earlier in the week, did you go to Kobe's ceremony? Did you cover that?
Yep, I was down there.
And what were the highlights of that for you?
It was weird, man. I mean, it's it was fine. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's, I feel like in the moment I was just kind of there and I just kind of went and did what I had to do and wrote a column. And, but for some reason in the days following, I've just reflected on it, and I just find the whole event a little bizarre.
Why is that?
Perfect. What's that?
Yeah, why is that?
Just because it's so, I respect the heck out of Kobe's career, but I think it, admittedly, it's just the way that it was so, everything was so Kobe. You know, we're going to retire two jerseys instead of one. We're not, you could even have put the two jersey numbers on one jersey maybe and had just one spot on the wall, but now there's going to be two spots on the wall. You had Kobe Land outside, with the, it was just so over the top. I guess that's it. And I know it's Lakers Land, and I know it's the entertainment capital of the world, but I also, the day is going to have to come for that organization when you don't have to look backward to celebrate, and that was one of my other takeaways was, you're in that building and you're reflecting on what Kobe did during his career, and the greatness is everywhere. Like, the fun part for me of that night was Kareem sitting there 20 feet away from Kareem and Bill Russell, who were sitting next to each other in the stands. That was really cool. Allen Iverson is there. All these great players. The Warriors being the opponent that night, you had greatness on the court with Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, all of their guys who are future Hall of Famers. Like, the elephant in the room, so to speak, was that nobody in purple and gold, looks like they're even sniffing greatness. Kyle Kuzma is a nice player, but the Lakers are becoming masters at celebrating their past because they have not been able to fix their present. And that, that was one of my main takeaways.
It was a hell of a take.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, I was not prepared for that. I don't remember where I was going to go. I'm so just.
I didn't mean to throw you.
No,
off.
You know what it was. I know what it was. You also got to throw the pod some love. You guys talked to Kareem.
Yeah, no, Kareem was good. Kareem was good. I appreciate it as always, Damian. He hopped on to talk about his book and some of the work he did with or does with Coaches Versus Cancer. And it was actually not a lot of X's and O's talk. He talked a lot about social issues and the way that today's athletes have found their voice and what his perspective was on that. He talked about, actually had a nice little moment with my colleague, Jeff Zilgit, because Jeff, as you guys know, has been fighting colon cancer, and Kareem has dealt with cancer himself. And so they kind of just talked about life and got a little bit reflective. So good conversation. And he's obviously beyond a legend. So it was fun to have him on.
A to Z podcast, latest edition is up there. Go check it out. Sam, I will tell you before we hang up, Ty Lue confirmed while we were talking that Isaiah Thomas will not play on Christmas Day against the Golden State Warriors. Sam,
there it is.
I think we'll be able to talk to you next Wednesday before the new year. So have a great Christmas. And I know Christmas Day is very busy for you and anyone who covers the NBA. So have a great Christmas. Have fun. And we'll talk to you next week.
Same to you guys and both your families. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. That is Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider. That was interesting from someone who was there.
Yeah. Said it was very Kobe-like.
There's a lot of celebrating going on in the control room by a particular individual who's not necessarily a fan of Kobe Bean. Yeah. Is there anyone in the control room with you?
There might be someone that's
wore that number. That's right. They spelled Christy wrong on number 8.
They did.
I'm going to write a letter.
You were way off on that.
Didn't even get a letter right. There's a story that came. I'm so happy about what we're going to talk about next. Not the Seahawks story, but another story that just popped up. We'll make it quick, but I'm so happy to tell you what CEO is gone. Oh, I'm so happy to tell you this. That's next. Get into that story about the Seattle Seahawks here in just a second, Jason. But did you hear? Old Papa John had to step down as the CEO.
Really?
Aww. What heartbreaking news. And who could have seen this coming, right? You make crappy pizza, alienated.
Hey, you can't talk about their pizza.
I ate it once like 10 years ago.
I don't know if it's actually. It's all right.
You make crappy pizza, you alienate.
I can talk about it. Awful.
There you go. You alienate an entire race of people, and you walk in front of the firing squad for old Uncle Jerry.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you, Big Papa?
Is Jerry sad?
You know what? I'm not sure. Let's
check in on Jerry.
Let's check in with Jerry.
I'm sad.
Yep.
I'm very sad.
Yeah, it's so sad about that, Papa John. So sad. I mean, really, who could have seen this coming? Yeah. I'm stunned. These damn national anthem protests have ruined my sales. Cool, bro. How are your sales now?
Yeah.
Can someone give me a quarterly update on old Papa John's pizza sales? I'm dying to know where they were this quarter as opposed to the last quarter when those damn anthem protests ruined your pizza.
So completely stepped down, huh?
Made your pizza taste like crap. Yeah, he's out.
Wow.
Maybe old Jerry can give him a job.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe he can. What's up, Mike?
It's Frank, actually, but that's all right.
That's all right. Frank, Mike.
Hi, Frank, Mike.
It's okay. Sorry.
I wanted to call.
I guess he spelled it wrong.
Yeah, it's all right. I wanted to call him Busted Chop Liver about this. His pick here recently. First of all, he picked Raiders over KC. You saw how that went. Then last week, he had the Rams not only losing, but he was talking about how sad it was they weren't going to be in the playoffs.
Wait, whose picks were these?
Jason. What is going on, Jason? I want to know just why do you think that they had no chance of winning that game when they played the best team, arguably maybe second best team in the NFL right now, in the Eagles, and if they don't fumble, they win that football game, but you think they're just not going to make the playoffs because they lost that game?
Did you say me?
Yeah, he was talking to you.
Well, I did pick the Chiefs, first off, if we're saying that. I did pick the Chiefs to beat the Raiders. I said, would it be disastrous if the Rams lost to Seattle? I did pick Seattle. Yeah, he's right. But could there be a scenario where they didn't make the playoffs? It would be a shame.
Yeah, it would be awful.
Yeah, I missed the game, but yeah. I wasn't rooting them for not to make the playoffs.
Well, it was sounding like you guys were, you know, utilizing them already, like they were dead and gone. And
No. Nah, Frank. I think you're a little mixed up, buddy. We've been on that Rams bandwagon for a while, and I think the conversation you're talking about is we were talking about how if they had lost that game, they would have been in Seattle spot where they're fighting to get into the playoffs, and as well as they've played this year, that would have been it would have been a big shame.
Well, they've had the problems in the past, but that team's been underestimated.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Completely agree. The defense is playing well. They got a lot of things going for them. Frank, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic holiday if we don't talk to you again. What's up, Sal?
Hey, good afternoon. I was curious. I missed the part about alienate a whole race of people. How did that happen?
Well, I think when you point to anthem protests, you're pointing specifically to black NFL players. I know Travis Kelce protested. I'm sure there's a handful of white players that protested as well. But I think when you read between the lines, that's who you're talking to.
Interesting. So, wow, that's...
You disagree?
Well, yeah, I just don't. I mean, the whole black-white thing, I mean, there's so many different races. And if we're going to cry about one race, I mean, there's all kinds of races that have been...
Sal, who's crying? I brought up a point about Papa John's alienating a giant portion of a potential audience.
But how is it just the black race? I don't get
You're not listening. Who's protesting the national anthem? Find me a Mexican. Give me a Mexican player, an Asian player.
Just black people are standing for a cause. Is that what you're telling me?
Wow. No, I'm talking about the national anthem protest because that's what he.
Sports station and not only, I mean, it's unclear what you're saying. I mean,
I think you're the only one unclear, Sal. But I'm trying to help you through this.
Is it? Well, I'm trying to understand. So is it like a Colin Kaepernick thing or?
Sal, who's protesting who's taking a knee during the national anthem? Can you name a couple of players? And what do they all have in common?
I don't know. I kind of stopped watching the NFL. I just don't think that it's just black people protesting against stuff. I think that's where
You're saying stuff. Papa John didn't bring up stuff. He wasn't talking about protest against...
Protesting against...
The national anthem, the NFL. That he was talking about one specific protest, Sal.
Just protesting the anthem. He was, I'm asking for clarity, that's all.
Yes,
I'm
protest.
The whole
unless,
situation, that's why.
Unless I missed Papa John talk about other protests, I only heard him address the national anthem protest in the NFL.
Right, what I'm trying to understand is, where did Papa John say black people?
You don't have to say black people. He didn't say black people. He's not that stupid. He's pretty stupid, but he's not that stupid.
Okay. I don't know. I think it just kind of, I think the argument just goes out the window when we just say it's just black people protesting. Or it's against.
No, Sal, buddy.
Against one
Sal.
Race. I think Papa John's probably is against a whole bunch of people. I don't think it's just black people.
Sal.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like there's much of an argument when you're just saying it's just one race. It's just against one race. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Sal. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for
all
listening.
Right, my man.
Okay, be well. I don't think Sal got any of that.
You don't?
Are you? That's all right. I guess I didn't do a very good job of clarifying that.
Well, he didn't help me any.
Is it? Let me just try to lay this out as easily. And I'm looking at the text line, so I just try to lay this out. If our theory, if we believe that Jerry sent Papa out there to make his remarks, and whether he did or he didn't, when we talk about a national anthem protest, aren't we specifically talking? I mean, it's mostly black players, right?
For the most part, yeah.
And this anthem, this protest, it feels like through the bulk of this year has been divided by racial lines. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
With one small exception being the day after Donald Trump called the NFL player son of a bitch, because apparently that offended everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't call us that. That's just out of line. We're all going to take a knee. But for the most part, that's what we've talked about. And this anthem thing has been divided along racial lines. That's what I was talking about, Sal.
Yeah.
Seattle was fined $100,000 for violating concussion protocol. You heard Chris mention that in a couple of updates here. I have to imagine there's a fine coming for Houston and the Tom Savage situation because it's nearly identical.
Yeah, that's one where what do you do if you're Seattle? Like, if there's not, you're like, wait a minute. Why is ours more egregious than what's happening there? Because that was in front of everybody.
So $100,000 is the fine. No loss of draft picks, no anything else. Is that enough? $100,000 in a game?
To change the protocol next time? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I think they need to do it as a – it's a shame that there has to be a fine because people obviously aren't following the right – what's the criteria? What's the proper way? Is the NFL, is there a clear cut?
Does anyone buy this? Like concussion protocol in general, the – what do they call them? The spotter,
mm-hmm.
right? Does anyone buy that? The – independent neurologist that is on the sidelines of each of these NFL teams. Does anyone buy that this really happens? Because we've seen it. Case Keenum last year. We've seen it happen so many times to different quarterbacks, to different players. And yet here we are talking about the concussion protocol, and now they're levying a fine of $100,000.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the deterrent? You're in a must-win situation? You don't think that, you know what? Russ, yeah, just go out there.
Yeah,
we'll
play through it. We'll pay it.
I don't know what the alternative is.
Right.
But it does. I look at this and it's like, come on, man, really?
Could you have it on a scale? So if it happens to Seattle again, then it's way more severe.
It has to be.
Much like
it has
you know,
to be
a fight. Then you do it another time and you get more time.
No, it absolutely has to be. But I don't know. The only thing that I think scares franchises is the loss of draft picks.
Yeah.
But the thing
is, taking their gold.
You have to set a precedent. Right, like someone has to be the first that it happens to. So at some point, they're going to have to step out there, and maybe that's not something they do until next year. But you violate concussion protocol, you're losing a mid-round draft pick, not a 7. You're losing a 4,
yeah,
or a 3. You're losing something that hurts you, so you know this isn't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss Garrett Temple, he joined us in the 1 o'clock hour. Had some great thoughts, not only on how the Sacramento Kings are approaching their rookies and their young players. But also some eye-opening revelations on one Costa Kufis. That's next on The Lowdown. Be sure to check us out tomorrow at noon for our Christmas Spectacular. Jason.
That's what they're saying.
That you want to tell us what that means?
Yep. Stay tuned at noon tomorrow.
I will be giving you my top 5 Christmas movies to watch this Christmas holiday.
He will.
That's actually a thing.
Yeah.
That is actually going to be a thing tomorrow. Our next
couple. I give you my worst 5. Be on the lookout for that.
Okay.
Be on the lookout for it.
We doing top Christmas songs?
Look.
Listen.
Everyone wants to know what my thoughts are on Christmas movies.
I agree. What about Christmas songs?
Okay.
What songs are playing in the J. Ross household on Christmas?
All of them.
Would you, if can you belt out Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas?
No.
No?
Not in her sound?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you turn it up loud enough, you sound just like the artist.
Sure.
That's the rule, right?
Yeah, I learned from Costa.
Yeah, Costa Kufis, indeed. Yeah. We had Garrett Temple on with us in the 1 o'clock hour, at the start of the 1 o'clock hour. If you missed it and you want to hear the conversation in its entirety, download the KHDK app in your app store, and you can listen to the entire show both live and on demand. You can also win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings play the Phoenix Suns on December 29th. Just snap a shot of you listening to the show. We're going to name our winner here in just a few minutes and send it to us at JasonRoss1140, at Damian Barling. If you enter today, you're entered to win these tickets tomorrow as well. And the Sacramento Kings have something going on tomorrow also,
they
right?
They sure do. Thank you. Yeah, they've got the blood drive going on. That's going to be at 6147 Sunrise Boulevard. That's over there at Marketplace at Birdcage. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., all donors will receive a pair of Kings tickets to an upcoming game. That's compliments of Blood Source. KHDK is going to be out there with our street team from 10 to 2. Slamson will be on site 11 to 12. Kings Dancers from 11 to 2. So, again, Sacramento Kings Blood Drive tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 6147 Sunrise Boulevard.
Marty Mack was listening when Sal called.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
Marty Mack is my favorite, man. Marty Mack, we love you, buddy. Thank you so much for listening. Costa Kufis, yes, he was a topic of conversation with Garrett Temple. You mentioned you will belt out Mariah Carey, similar to Costa Kufis.
Sure.
Well, we learned a little interesting tidbit with Garrett Temple today.
But he's a great guy. One thing about Costa, a tidbit about Costa that people won't know, he'll just randomly sing early to mid-90s R&B songs. He'll just start singing.
Stop it.
I promise you, Damon.
Stop.
And I still don't. I still can't get over it because he did that last year, my first year with him. And I'm like, Costa, what you know about that? He's singing Joe. He's singing some Bribing Night. Or he might be. I'm like, what you? You know, Costa singing that late '90s R&B, some Tyrese or something.
I love that. I don't know why. Just envisioning Tyrese singing "Sweet Lady."
Yeah.
Just
Costa. He's coming out of the tunnel there and layup lines.
Oh, wonderful. In more seriousness, this is the first time we've talked to the first time we've ever done anything seriously. This is the first time we've talked to Garrett Temple after a win, man, and that conversation was just the dynamic to it. You could hear just the relief in his voice to get a couple of wins back to back. He played really well in Philadelphia. He was fantastic defensively. Had that big chase down block late in the game against Brooklyn. But over the course of the last few games, the young players haven't gotten as much run. And J-Ross asked Garrett about the approach in working with the young guys.
You know, watching film with them, talking them through film during timeouts, talking to them about situations, what they should have done here or what they did do well here. Things of that nature are still going on. But when we're playing, I think just when you play the right way, you know, they'll do more what they see than what you tell them at the end of the day. Trying to play the right way because you can't talk about it and not do it.
Again, if you want to hear that entire conversation with Garrett Temple, download the KHDK app in your app store or download the Lowdown podcast on whatever your favorite podcast platform is. King's got a couple of days off. I think they were completely off today. Garrett had mentioned he actually had to set an alarm to get up for us when he joined us at 1 o'clock. The plane didn't touch down till well after 4, so it looks like they had the whole day off today. I'm sure they'll get into film and practice tomorrow, and then they'll have the Spurs at the Golden 1 Center on Saturday.
Yeah, see if they can get this carried over from the road to home. And I like the way they've been playing a little bit more consistently here, 7-7 in the last 14. But the home games are coming, so they got to start winning at home.
Remember the everyone Raider fan, the index card?
Yeah.
The Cowboy game? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a one and done. You're not going to see that again.
So it was incorrect how they did that.
It wasn't incorrect. They didn't specifically say that it was incorrect. They were just told, the officials were told by the head of officiating to no longer use the paper measurement. Don't use it again.
Okay.
I don't know if it was the...
So what's the proper way? The eyeball, get down on one knee, look at it.
Go the golf look?
Yeah.
Like
get really close.
Going for that putt. Yeah. They didn't specifically say what the proper... I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Did you know that was a thing?
No, I did not. And again,
if
even
the
as
ball
they
is
did
past
it,
a certain point, it's a first down, right? Like, what do you?
Yeah,
I don't know, but that you won't see it again.
Okay.
So, yay. I don't.
Yeah. Sorry, Raiders.
11 years ago, the coach of the Miami Dolphins stood at the podium fielding questions and said,
I don't know how else I can say it, guys. I've said it three different occasions. Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over.
Well, that sounded like Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, 11 years ago, the Miami Dolphins head coach.
I don't know how else I can say it, guys. I've said it three different occasions. Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over.
Never. How's that worked out?
No, a lot of pronouns in there.
Well, wait a minute now. Hold on. If you're gonna talk about pronouns.
Yeah, there's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't even know who's talking about what.
I don't know what's going on here.
Coach, would you say that Tom's relationship with his trainer is like if your adult son's child is hanging out with somebody you didn't really care for all that much? I mean, it's your adult child. What are you supposed to say?
I'm not really sure with the question. I mean, you're talking about my children. I don't really think that's appropriate here. I'm trying to coach a football team.
You know what football team he's not coaching, though?
Who's that?
The North Carolina Panthers.
This job shouldn't be this one. But we missed this one. We didn't get a chance to get to this.
Hoover inbounds the ball. That's it. The Wofford Terriers have just knocked off the defending national champion, North Carolina Tar Heels.
I'll buy you lunch tomorrow if you tell me where Wofford is.
It's just outside of Kobe Land.
That is Jason H.W. Ross. I'm Damian Barling. We thank you so much for being with us. Thank you to Chris Verlau for all his hard work today. Thank you to Garrett Temple and Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider. We will be back tomorrow for our Christmas Spectacular.
Woo-hoo!
No clue what that means, but we'll see you at noon.